You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Blog Talk Radio.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Greetings and welcome to the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio series, a very special series that we're bringing you on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich, where we are teaching you over the six-week period how to learn the secrets to wealth and the 12 riches of life as brought to you in Napoleon Hill's Success Philosophy. I'm your host for this series, Havilah Malone, author and success coach, and I am so excited to be able to be joining you today for part 4 of this series as we are going through how to really develop that leadership and the art of persuasion for all of you, you know, business savvy individuals out there. Of course, we want to be able to, you know, get people on the side of our ideas or goals or the things that we're trying to accomplish. And you know what? Have you ever wanted to be able to master indecision? You've been kind of procrastinating or trying to figure out which direction to go into? Well, this will also help. Today's discussion is going to help with that as we go through 3 of Napoleon Hill's principles today on enthusiasm, controlled attention, and accurate thinking. Yes, so we're so excited to be here with you today as we're going through those wonderful principles that are really our guiding force. You know, for those of you who are new to Napoleon Hill's philosophies, new to Napoleon Hill, and even for those of you who may be familiar with the book Think and Grow Rich, which actually has one of the most prolific philosophies to success of all time, which really even that phrase or that quote that you may have heard before about, if you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. Yes, that comes out of over 20 years of research, 20 years that was spent by Napoleon Hill researching and talking to some of the most successful people of his time, where he got a chance to go and become an intimate part of the lives of people like Thomas Edison and Henry Ford, Andrew Carnegie, you know, Theodore Roosevelt, yes, the President of the United States, and many, many more who helped really shape American history and shape the lives of those around us. And he was able to have, you know, these deep conversations with them and pick their brains and get a good understanding of how it was that they were able to accomplish the things that they did within their lives. And so he created this master key, you know, to be able to understand what it takes to be extremely successful. And so we are now having the privilege through the International Mastermind Association to be able to bring those same principles, those same tools and keys for success to you through this six-part series. And like I say, and today in part four, as we go through, you know, being able to move people to action, understanding that power of habit, and then how to reach those accurate decisions in your life. And that's what we're going to be going through today in part four of the series. And if you missed any of the series, part one through three so far, then no worries. You can go right there to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, and you can go in and listen to anything that you missed so that you can definitely get caught up, because you don't want to miss not one piece of this series. And I'm so excited to be able to introduce to you today our Mastermind Alliance members who are participating in this discussion to be able to bring you the information on these success principles. And so we have with us Ms. Ann McNeil, who is the International Mastermind Association founder. She's also a speaker, a coach, and an author. She's the owner of several very successful companies, a construction company, MCO Consulting, as well as a speaking organization called Constructively Speaking. And she speaks both locally and nationally. And her commitment is to creating a work-life balance using those mastermind principles and the principles of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. She's been featured in Black Enterprise magazine as well as USA Today, and also appeared on ABC World News. And, of course, as we hear her on a weekly basis through IMA, and we're so excited to be able to have her as a part of this discussion, and she adds so much value to it. And we also have Ms. Sandra Richardson, who is an inspirational growth instructor from the Richer Inspirational Growth Firm. And she's all about paying it forward. And she has been able to, throughout her career, absolutely crush sales records within Fortune 500 companies before bringing it to her own corporation to be able to help individuals, to be able to get inspired and grow and be stronger than ever before. So we definitely look forward to getting some of the insights from Ms. Richardson on these principles and how we can apply them within our lives. And then, of course, we are so excited to have back with us Ms. Hillary Vargas, who is a life coach, a motivational speaker, and youth mentors. She's a founder of Ms. Hillary's Kids, which is a nonprofit organization designed to support and empower our young people. Yes, those with learning disabilities or behavioral challenges, and those who come from just rough and underprivileged backgrounds, are really showing them that their past does not have to dictate their future, and that they truly can dream bigger and go further and accomplish the things that they want in their lives. And she has a very unique program that is able to help them to be able to achieve those goals. And so we are super excited to be able to have these ladies a part of the discussion today for this Your Right to Be Rich series as we go through part four. So without any further ado, welcome to the call, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely, certainly. We're so glad to be able to have you. So we're going to jump right into our discussion on enthusiasm, which is actually principle 9 within Napoleon Hill's philosophy for success, that can be found in his book, Think and Grow Rich, in his book, Your Right to Be Rich, and then you all, of course, may be familiar with the other writings of Napoleon Hill, like Outwitting the Devil, and his prolific writings is that. But this idea about enthusiasm and all of the principles within the philosophy are extremely important to be able to incorporate each and every one of them, and they just continue to build upon each other. And so now as we're going into part four of the series, this enthusiasm is really, it's a priceless asset. Enthusiasm really is the action. It's the faith in action that is able to breathe life into things. So really, without this intense feeling of enthusiasm and being fired up about something and being able to convey that through your words and through your body language and through the way that you express yourself, then words seem to they fail to carry conviction. It's just kind of like you're speaking. Or like your deeds, they fail to impress. They're just like, there's no enthusiasm. It's lackluster. It just really doesn't move people. But when you have that enthusiasm, it really helps to move them. And, you know, Hillary, I would love for you to be able to, you know, share with us about how important this enthusiasm is and how you've seen that play out through your dealings and how it's been able to truly move people to action.
Absolutely. Thank you, Havala. Well, it's an interesting thing. I work with the youth, so I work with urban underprivileged kids, and as you can imagine, it's very important how I bring to the table my attitude and how I'm feeling, because they will pick up on that. It's like a magnetic force. And so sometimes, you know, of course, you know, even in difficult challenges, you still have to maintain what the encourage Napoleon talks about. It's that positive mindset, that enthusiasm of, like, you know what you want and what you want to do, because others will reflect on it. So keep it in mind always the principle. I implement it as much as I can, and especially when I'm around my mentees, because that's really my purpose, and it's important that they see that in me. They see the passion. They see that I'm excited, because they will pick up on that, especially when they come from backgrounds where they don't see that. And so I am the force to bring that for them. So it's very important to keep in mind when I'm in that element of this theory that this is the principle, these are the things that I have to deliver at every single, you know, second or situation. And keeping that in mind, I think that once you go into it, keeping it in mind, like if you're going into a meeting or you have a job interview or you're, you know, speaking at an engagement, keep it in mind that your energy level, how you speak, the passion will be transparent. And if it's just a very low energy, like if I came into my students and I was just like, okay, guys, today we're going to do this, they won't respond to me. And so it's very important how you bring to the table, what you're feeling, and just give it your all and full force out. And it's always 100% success rate coming back. People appreciate it more. It's contagious. And you'll see the effects of the results of going into it with full force. Thank you.
Yes, so the enthusiasm, it really is that it's there's a power behind enthusiasm, and it really comes from within, because it's the concentration of the power of your mind, and it gives, you know, that power, it gives it wings, it gives it life. It's like even if you went up into, like, your favorite coffee shop and, you know, you went to go order something and the service provider comes up to you and they're just like, you know, good morning, you know, how can I help you? And there's no life around it. There's no enthusiasm. There's no energy that's being portrayed to you. Then it's kind of like it dampens the experience. It makes it not as not as good, not as rich, not as convincing as it is if when you walk into a coffee shop and that barista is like, good morning, how are you doing today? You know, we're so glad to see you. Oh, you know, how can I help you? Or, you know, hey, have you tried one of our six, you know, rich new coffee blends? You know, then it's like, oh, I'm excited about that. Okay, I don't even know what your six new rich coffee blends are, but I know I want to try one, because, you know, that it breathes life into whatever it is that you're doing. And, you know, please, Anne, share on how you have been able to see this enthusiasm play out through use of this particular principle, even in business dealings or being able to really move things or move other people to action.
Well, Havilah Orson Sweet Martin, one of my favorite authors, he referred to enthusiasm as the great force within us that is perpetually prodding us to do our very best. And so when you think about enthusiasm, and I apply it to my life, and I continue to talk about that exam, you know, oftentimes when we are birthing a vision or a mission or even a baby, if it's, you know, something that we're excited about, we show the enthusiasm in being excited. So for me, when I think about going back to the exam example, which is the general contractor's exam that I had to take for my construction company, I was enthused about the end result of what passing that exam would bring to me. And not just to me, but to all of the people that I employ and all of the mortgages, all of the payments that people would be able to make as a result of having a successful business. So oftentimes when we just stop and think about what is it that you're excited about, go back to Napoleon Hill's definite chief purpose. If we have a definite chief purpose and something that inspires us, then we tend to be more excited about that. Let's use the example you just mentioned about the coffee shop. If that particular person, whether it's a waitress or someone that's making a small amount of money, if they don't have a definite chief purpose in their life, then the job is not seen as just a stepping stone. That job is seen as the end result. So why should I be enthused about that? So myself personally, I'm one of those people that get up very, very early in the morning because I am so enthused about the day and to get to that priority list that all still drives to that definite chief purpose. So those are the things that excite me, Evelyn, in terms of my expression of enthusiasm.
Oh, I love that. And such a good point, you know, that you made there, because it's true. It's kind of like, what is your definite major purpose in life? You know, what is that thing that gets you out of bed in the morning? What is the reason for you being here, the value that you add and the thing that you're passionate about that moves you forward? And it's because 98% of people don't have, you know, a chief purpose in life or a definite aim for their life, that they're just drifting through life. And so it takes enthusiasm for you to be able to attain success. But then to attain success, you have to have a definite major purpose, which brings us back to principle one that we've gone through in the series, that was in part one of the series. So for anyone who's listening, if you haven't had an opportunity to go through that section on, you know, how do you develop that definite major purpose? How do you identify that, and how do you get that ball rolling so that you do have a direction for your life? Then, you know, please definitely go back and check out part one of this series, because even when we talk about enthusiasm, no one is necessarily, and according to Napoleon Hill, no one is born with enthusiasm, but it's developed. And that skill is developed by, well, first of all, the correct combination of interest, you know, knowledge, and belief. So you have to have an aim or a purpose or something that you are directing that energy towards for it to be able to manifest into something that's, you know, that's inspired, that's, you know, where you can be animated about it, where you believe in it, because truly your enthusiasm can beat out money, it can beat out power, it can beat out influence, because you can literally breathe life into something through being enthusiastic about it. And please, Sandra, you know, share with us from your experience on how important that enthusiasm is to be able to move people to action and be able to truly, you know, breathe life into something, and how important that principle is.
Thank you, Havila. Well, for me, I have a very recent experience in that a very, very good friend of mine actually lost a brother that she's very, very, very close to. And I was trying to figure out how I can help her, you know, at this time. And definitely recall going through this particular chapter dealing with enthusiasm. And there was also information in there that was leaning toward actually helping individuals who have actually lost loved ones and how they can actually get control over their emotions, because, you know, really there's negative emotions and there's positive emotions, and that this particular principle helps you to show you how you can transmute negative energy or tremendous sadness into positive emotions and positive, feelings. And, of course, course, we know that, you know, can really affect us and can really put us in a place, in a state that we prefer not to be in. And so what I did when I would talk to her, I would recall things that I had read in Napoleon Hill about it's a choice that you have to make. And you can decide whether or not, you know, you want to be consumed with those negative and bad feelings, or you can make a decision almost in an instant to take charge and say, I do not want to be negative. I want to be positive. I want to be able to be there for myself, show up for myself in a positive way, also show up for my family and friends that need me at this time to be able to help them out. And having that conversation with her and sharing with her some of the benefits that can come from that exercise, that it will put her in a position to perhaps not have some of the feelings that she was having, and also some of the results of it, like headaches and nausea. She was having all kinds of other physiological issues, and she was really, really appreciative of the stuff that I had shared with her, to the point of she called me back, you know, like a few hours later, and actually put into play what I asked her to do. She had some issues with a couple of family, you know, members that had not been resolved for years. And I told her, I said, well, this is your chance to use what you believe in, because she also believed in these principles and was ready to hear what I had to say. And she went to her, one of them was a sister-in-law, and the other one was a cousin of hers. And she actually did call them, and she had a great conversation with them. She said, and instead of talking to her brother's wife, who had passed the brother, you know, listening to the sad stuff, she said she was able to convert the conversation into very, very positive things, where they talked and they laughed about his history and the great things they had accomplished together, which I knew, because I know my friend, that that's not where she was. She was in a state where they were calling, they were probably going to be crying over it, you know, just uncontrollably. But she took control of the conversation. She said they had a great conversation at the end, and somewhat of a restored relationship with a sister-in-law who she had a bad relationship with. So it shows that these, you know, this principle of enthusiasm is very, very powerful if we learn how to use it.
Absolutely, and it has applications in so many different areas of our lives, and especially if you are a business person and you're moving forward and, you know, trying to get endeavors accomplished. You know, when you're going in to make that presentation, or you're trying to convince someone to, you know, to sign on with a project, or even trying to bring a client on board, if you can go in with that enthusiasm, and that comes from not only having a chief, like, aim or definite purpose, but also believing in and selling yourself on that idea. And so that internal feeling, that burning desire, that feeling comes from within you, and you're able to transmute that or be able to put that into the hearts of others through your tone of voice, through your body language, through the way that you convey that information or that message. It literally breathes life into your words. It breathes life into your message, and is able to transmute that feeling into somebody else. So they're like, I want whatever it is that person's having. It reminds me of that Herbal Essence commercial where, you know, she's on the plane and she goes to the bathroom, she's washing her hair, and she comes out and she's all, you know, enthusiastic about it, and everybody's like, I want whatever she just had. So, you know, we can do that through that use of enthusiasm through our actions. So you are joining us today for the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio special series, 6-part special series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. I'm your host, Tavlin Malone, and we're here with our Mastermind Alliance having an amazing discussion on part 4 of that series, and we will be right back from this commercial break, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we are back. Thank you so very much. Have a little Malone.
Excellent. And so we really are here to be able to share with all of our listeners who are on the call today about Napoleon Hill's principles on your right to be rich. But we're sharing people the secrets to wealth and the 12 riches of life. And so we just had a great conversation around our enthusiasm and that principle, which is actually principle 9 of the 17 principles for success. And so right now we're going to have a discussion around, is that controlled attention? Yeah, so this gives people the ability to be able to concentrate in on a behavior and to really create a habit. And we know the importance of being able to have habits within our lives. And so that controlled attention, it's really the secret of the strength that we see in politics, that we see in wars, in the way that governments are run, in trade, and in short, basically in all areas of management of human affairs. And this is based off of what Emerson has shared with us, that concentration is so important, the strength of that. And it's like, and it's so important that you first of all have it, as we talked about, and as we continue to talk about through this entire series, is having that definite major purpose in life, because that will allow you to focus in your attention, to concentrate your efforts so that you truly can achieve something of massive value. So, Anne, will you please share with us around this principle of controlled attention and its importance and how we can really incorporate this within our lives?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. This particular controlled attention section and principle 10 really, really hit home for me this week. Because unknowingly and subconsciously by walking through this section, I began to realize that I needed to actually apply it in my life. And so on a daily basis, what I began to realize is, what is my definite major purpose today? Not yesterday, not next year, not next week, but today. And what I found myself doing is utilizing the self-discipline that I had to employ on a daily basis, moment by moment, to look at my priorities for today. And so what would happen then is that each morning when I rose, very early, I won't get into the time, but you know, almost 2 or 3 hours before it was time for me to be at my destination, I rose and then I realized, I said, okay, do my meditation, my prayer, my reading, some exercise, some meditation. But now, what does my day look like? What do I want to design my day like today? And what are the priorities that I must achieve before 12 o'clock? And so this particular section on controlled attention really revolves around the ability to control your focus on a given problem until it is solved, whether that's priority, whether it's a project, whether it's a vision, a mission. But it all ties back still to the definiteness of purpose.
And it's so true, but being able to have that focus and how important that is, because you know, the average lifespan, which 78, 80, years or if more, someone of great strength, it's too short to be able to permit you to really achieve like massive success in any calling without concentrating your effort, without having that focus on that definite major purpose. And so that focus on your efforts to accomplish your goal is going to be really important in having, like, one direction that you're going into. And I think that's the trap that a lot of people get caught into, is they have a lot of different interests or a lot of different things that, you know, they enjoy or want to do or want to be able to incorporate, but yet not really having a main focus. And so the attention or the energy is just divided amongst so many different things that nothing is really being brought to either completion, or nothing is really being brought to its excellence in any given field. And so, Sandra, please, like, share with us about your experience, you know, around that and the importance of this concentration or controlled attention and concentration of effort.
Well, one thing, I have never seen, especially in my personal life, where had I not got really focused and really concentrated thoroughly on whatever it was that I was trying to achieve, it has never happened. Has never happened in my life where I did not achieve it. And it was all totally because applying this principle of actually getting focused, being concentrated on what it was I was trying to actually achieve again. And, of course, there's this saying, it goes where energy goes. Where focus goes, energy flows. And that is so true. And how I was able to know that was, as I got focused, things kind of like just fell away that was not associated with where I was going. It was not even, it didn't take a whole lot of effort to actually cut those things away. They kind of happened on their own because that energy was in charge of going to get what it was I was focused on. And that was an amazing experience for me to actually see that work like that. And then what I knew from that point on was that anything that I wanted to go and get, anything that I was focused on, especially if it was associated with my definite major purpose and even short-term goals that was associated with that, that those things were easier, a lot easier to achieve because that force, that energy was in charge because I had done my part and that I had got actually focused to go in that direction. So understanding that principle to go get what you want, that other stuff just kind of get cut away because the focus is in, it's in sight, you see it, you're going for it, and nothing else matters. And then you will, I have heard where folks say, you know, well, you know, put all your eggs in one basket. Well, Napoleon Hill says you do want to put them all in one basket because now, you know, you're focused. It's all encompassed in that one direction, that one area of life to attainment, and then you get it. You just simply get it. You get to achieve it, and you get to be just greatly enthused and about it. So, yeah, that principle is very, very powerful in my life. It's one that I'm using right now. It is working for me. There's the cutting away of the negative things, the things that had I not been focused, they certainly would have been involved in my life, in that journey. Well, they're gone now. So great principle, and I will continue to do my best to apply it.
And truly, without having a specific goal in your life, I mean, you're as helpless as a ship without a compass. You know, it's like for anyone not to have their attention that's controlled and in a specific direction, then really that's nothing more than idle curiosity. But when you are able to, you know, really control your attention, concentrate your efforts, move it into a specific specialized direction or into a specific focus, that's really one of the highest forms of self-discipline and self-mastery, and that's how you will be able to accomplish extreme success. There was a quote by Martin Luther King Jr., and he was like, control your mind and you will never be controlled by the minds of others. When you are able to focus in your mind on the thing that you want to be able to accomplish through that use of controlled attention, then no matter what it is that you are going through, no matter what it is that the obstacles that you may face, as we're going to talk about later on in the series, how we can learn and transmute those adversities and defeat and be able to turn those around to be able to benefit us. You know, so we'll go through a process in life. You know, you hear the phrase that life is not a destination, it's a journey. So that journey is will help you to be able to, through that concentrated effort, through that self-discipline, through that focus, to be able to truly breathe some great things by tuning in to exactly what it is that you want. But you got to know what you want. You have to know what you want. So, Hillary, please share with us about how this principle of controlled attention, you know, even how you use this, you know, with your students, because it's like right now you're in the process of being able to mold these minds and be able to move the focus of those minds into the direction of success, into the direction of dreaming bigger and really being able to identify, you know, what their goals are beyond those limiting beliefs. So how does this controlled attention help, you know, with that process and help with breeding success, you know, and cultivating their greatness?
Thank you. I think the most important thing is what you were mentioning before, that as human beings, we have a tendency to focus on 101 things. And sometimes we can't really give it our whole full attention or full energy on that. We know that kids and youth are the epitome of this because they're focusing on so many things. And working with youth, one of the first steps that we do is we talk about exactly where do they see themselves. And so then their attention is focused on just one thing, and they have to choose the one thing that out of all the other things that they can really see the concentration in. And so we do various exercises to get to that point. And I think it's very important to realize that it's so important and crucial to observe the mind when it wants to get distracted, when it wants to go to different million directions, but that we have to focus on that one thing to get to that purpose and accomplish it. Without that, we can't do multiple things. And I think that once we can do that, then we can multitask, different areas in your life. And so with them, it's really great because you can start as young as 13 and they learn the habit. So when at 13, 14, 15, they already know how to master this, then by 16, 17, 18, they're really focused and being go-getters, and they're already looking.
So they're focused, they're go-getters, they're moving towards their goal, and whatever that goal might be. So, yeah, definitely thank you for sharing that. And the work that, you know, Hillary does with the kids and with the youth is just, it's outstanding. It absolutely is outstanding. And one of the things that I definitely want to be able to put on your mind for all you ladies and gentlemen who are listening in on this part four of the Napoleon Hill, Your Right to Be Rich discussion, is that your mind is always active, literally. Your mind never sleeps, even when you are sleeping. So you literally can keep your mind focused, give your mind things to be able to do or to focus on even when you go to sleep at night. Say you have a business problem or a personal problem or whatever, something that you're working through and you're looking for some direction on it. You can literally, through auto-suggestion or through telling your mind, you know, I want you to work on, you know, X, Y, and Z, whatever that issue is. And you may even find that, and which I encourage you to, at nighttime, have a pencil and a pad, like, on the side of your bed. Have it, like, just sitting there. Because when you give your mind direction, you give your mind focus, it will go to work for you. It wants to work for you. It wants to bring you the things that you want. And it is bringing you, through the power of thought, it is bringing you the things that you want, whether they be negative, whether they be positive, whether you realize it or not, it is bringing those things to you. But you may find that, hey, if you give your mind a specific thing to work through or to focus on even right before you go to sleep, especially if you're asking it a question or wanting it to bring you insight on a particular thing that you're working on, that you may, you know, pop up in the middle of the night and have, like, an idea that came to you or something that, like, just, like, comes to your mind that, like, wakes you up in the middle of the night. And you may have even experienced this before. And that's through that power of controlled attention and being able to put your mind to work for you, because it is literally always active, always awake and will help you to attain your desire. So you're listening to the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio Show, this special six-part series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. I'm your host, Havilah Malone, and we'll be right back from this commercial break. And as we're getting the commercials running, you know, what is so important for us to be able to focus on, and like I said, if any of you have missed out on any of the parts of the series prior, then no worries. You can always go to blogtalkradio.com/masterminders to be able to get that information from part one through three of the series that you may have missed. So make sure that you go in and you take an opportunity to be able to do that. And so we've talked about so far on this particular show is that enthusiasm and how important that enthusiasm is to be able to move forward and be able to move other people to action. And then what we also have talked about is that controlled attention and how important that is to be able to really formulate that habit, to get that focus so that they can bring you the things that you want throughout your life. And if you want more information about the International Mastermind Association, then you can go to www.internationalmasterminders.com. You can also follow them on Facebook and on Twitter to stay up to date and, you know, get different aspects of its principles or different insights to make it be able to help you on your journey through the things that you're doing. So what we're going into now, which is an extremely important part of the principle, which is principle 11 of the 17 principles in Napoleon Hill's success philosophy, and that's on accurate thinking. Yes, it's truly the foundation of all successful achievement. Is to have accurate thinking. So, you know, we think about, when we think about thinking, which is a wonderful way to put it, there are different ways to think. And so we want to bring Sandra in on this discussion and just talk about what exactly is accurate thinking and how important is that to being able to be successful.
What I appreciated about this particular principle was reading something about it said that the power of thought and how it is used is the one thing that actually separates man or woman that is deprived of freedom of riches from the man who acquires it all. And when I read that, that was profound because in that reading I got, accurate thinking was going to be the thing that was going to decide whether or not you had all that you want or if you missed that boat and had all of what you did not want. Also appreciated that it mentioned that the human mind was like a laboratory, and that was interesting to look at it from that perspective because when you think about a laboratory, there's a lot going on and there's a lot of experimentation going on and there's a lot of focus and concentration going on to make discoveries, obviously discoveries for good. So the mind could be used in that way. And also that we must learn and practice the art of thinking wisely and accurately. And when you use that laboratory, analogy, that makes sense because when that laboratory work is going on, there is positive and thinking, and they are searching vehemently for formulas and trying to be accurate in their compositions and their formulas because it, you know, you're trying to get what you want and you want it so bad, and it's expensive. You know, it's expensive when they do that. But for us, what we have, the mind that what we have between our two ears is actually free. It's free. We have it free and clear. We have everything we need to actually have everything we want, and it's through that science of accurate thinking that you can actually get it done. Now, it's good to investigate that because you can have some way of doing something, and you can actually feel like this is the way to do it and be convinced that this is the way that you do it. And that's great because you're thinking. But now you have to stop and ask yourself, is it accurate thinking? Because that principle does not just say, you know, you got to think. It says you have to think accurately. And that's a big difference between just thinking and then thinking accurately, because you could be wrong. You could be going down the wrong path because the thinking is there, but it's not accurate. Something is missing. And this principle helps you to go and find out what is missing and how you actually get to attain accurate thinking and use that accurate thinking to make sure and be unequivocally convinced that I'm doing it the right way because men before us, principally Napoleon Hill, Mr. Carnegie, and so forth and so on, all of those guys, this is the way that they've done it, and they achieved everything they wanted and beyond, and we can do the same thing.
Absolutely. And it really is it's a mental process that allows you to identify what's true and what's relevant. And it's beyond, because there's the phrase about opinions, you know, because everybody has an opinion. It's not necessarily that people's opinions are based off of facts. You know, those opinions can be based off of, you know, what I was just brought up to believe, you know, so within my, you know, family circle or family environment or just generationally what our belief system is. Or it could be, you know, a societal belief, but not necessarily based in truth or not necessarily based in, you know, what is a facts that are useful or going to help you to move forward towards your definite major purpose in life. So it's really important that you have accurate thinking based off of factual information and not just being swayed by the opinions of others. It's to be careful of people who are just willing to freely offer free advice. You know, it's very important to guard your mind against those things and to formulate a process of thinking for yourself. And you know, definitely, Anne, you can touch on that a little bit about that importance of accurate thinking and how people go about, you know, creating that accurate thinking within their lives.
Well, I have a look. Sticking with the books and the fact that it all starts with that definite purpose. And so for each of us, regardless, with each of us, whether we are children or adults, it all starts with that definiteness of purpose. You take a child who really, really, really wants something very badly, a two-year-old, do you think that they have accurate thinking when they, you know, do that tantrum and that dance with the hollering and screaming to get what they want? Does it work? Absolutely. It works every time until that parent gets to the point to where they have to use accurate thinking and realize that I've got to do something to change this. Well, we as adults, we're really no different. And so when you think about starting very early in your life, wherever you are, it's not an age start, but it's a mindset shift in our thinking. And that's really what I love about this book and what Napoleon Hill has done. He has given us a process to really use the mind, and he tells us that, you know, our mind really is the chief chemist. And I like the explanation and the analogy that Sandra used about the laboratory. Our mind is a laboratory, and it is experimenting all of the time, what works and what does not work. And to use the example in my own life in terms of accurate thinking, I'm in the process of starting chapters for the National Association for Black Women in Construction throughout the United States, and just helping black women in the industry use what they have to achieve their goals in this industry. And as a part of that process, we're actually using this book and the principles of the book to start the chapters. So just alone, I started a chapter, had a meeting in Tampa, Florida, And as I thought about going back to accurate thinking, as I actually started thinking about how do I want to do this? What is the ultimate chief goal? Here we go back to definiteness, the purpose. And the enthusiasm that comes with using the mind to draw by the spirit every single thing and every single spirit that you really want to participate in that process, regardless if it's your job or if it's your church or your civic organization. If we really stop and give ourselves time to think, and I'd like to ask all of our listeners, what are your habits of thought? What time do you really give to thinking? And actually, in preparation for this program today, about 4 o'clock this morning, as I was thinking, going back to your point, Havel, about thinking, I said, and I realized, it's very interesting that some of us don't really have a time to think. So how can I get to accurate thinking if I don't schedule thinking in my day? So the question I'd like to leave our audience and everybody and anybody who's listening to this, does not matter what time, if it's a year from now or 5 or 20 years from now, take a sheet of paper and actually write down the time of day or night that you are willing to give to thinking. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, that's such a great suggestion, because when we think about what our dominant thoughts are and then where we're getting that information from, it was so important to be able to help us to be able to accomplish our goals, and it's so important to be able to, first of all, separate facts from fiction and from hearsay, as well as being able to determine what or be able to put, your thoughts or be able to put things into two different classes. One, like what's important and then things that are unimportant, so that it allows us to be able to, again, focus in that thinking on the things that are truly going to help us to accomplish our goals. And even when we are taking in information, we're reading things, it could be, you want to be cautious even as you're, watching television and the information that you take in, or when you're watching or reading a book or reading information, in the newspaper, it's kind of like think about or ask yourself questions like, first of all, is the person who's talking on the subject, are they a recognized expert in whatever that field is? Also, what is their motive behind sharing the information that they're sharing? And so being able to ask ourselves things like this will help to be able to determine, okay, should I take this on as this is factual information? Where is this information coming from? And definitely what's the motive behind them sharing this information is really important to help you to formulate your own thoughts that are going to be helpful to you in moving you forward. And so, like Anne is saying, take time to think about the way you think. Do you just accept things that people tell you, blanket, with no question, or do you really think about them? So, Hillary, please share with us, how that has, pervaded throughout your life and your work and this, and the importance of that accurate thinking.
Thank you. It's interesting we talk about this, because working with the youth, one of the biggest things is what's in your mind. What kind of music are you listening to? Why are you watching? And as we know, our youth right now is bombarded with so many things to subconsciously change their thinking. And so it's one of those things that it's so important to guard your mind as if it was, like your heart, for example. And it's so important to keep in focus what's in the process and what are you feeding it. The same way that we feed our bodies, and they say, you are what you eat, I think you are what you think. And so if you're feeding it, things that are not as productive for your life, both in personal and professionally, then it's going to show in what you do and how you feel. So guarding your mind as if it was your body is so important. There's sometimes people give it a detachment, we work out, we eat well and all this, but like Anne had mentioned, focusing on what you're processing and what you're thinking and what you're feeding into it. Do you take time to think? And I think that's such a powerful question for the audience. And what do you feed it? What do you feed it so it can be healthy, so it can be strong, And so you have a long-term longevity on a positive mindset. What do you feed it? How? What do you listen to? What do you watch? What is who is feeding into your ears? What are you reading? And it's so important that we are proactive about that, reading books like Think and Grow Rich, listening to series as this, having excellent mentors and coaches that are in alignment to what you want. And I think that that's really important to also implement. Part B of that question is, what do you feed your mind? And what is that? How is that affecting your thinking? If you feed the body garbage, you're going to feel really sick, and you're going to feel the effects of things that are not, the body is not supposed to process, and the mind is the same way. And I think this is why a lot of people, you know, we fall into that trap of negative thinking, of feeling that we can't get out of it. So be careful what you feed your mind, for it will show in what you're thinking and how you're feeling.
That is so true. Like, that is so spot on. You have to be so careful about what it is that you feed your mind, because what you feed your mind ends up becoming a part of your thought patterns. And we know that thoughts are powerful. Thoughts produce things. So then those thoughts, as you continue to dwell upon them, they become that fuel, or they become what you end up bringing into reality of your life, and become a part of your belief system, and then it becomes a part of your reality. And so your thought process, you know, is that's one of the most important things that you have. And so it's important for you to learn how to use your own judgment and be cautious about the things that influence you, and never just accepting opinions as facts. You know, everybody has opinions. Everybody's going to bring you some, you know, oh, you know, you should do this, or it should be this way, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. Everybody's got an opinion. Opinions are easy to come by because they don't really take much thought process. But really being able to determine the motive that prompted that statement or that opinion, and then where that is based in. Is it based in fact, and is this going to be useful for me towards my goal? That's what you want to think about. That's what you want to dwell on. And matter of fact, what Napoleon Hill offers as a suggestion and a solution is to create a mastermind alliance to be able to help you with accurate thinking in different areas of your life. So having like a spiritual advisor in your mastermind alliance, having a financial advisor, you know, within your mastermind alliance, also a health advisor, a personal advisor, as well as like a professional advisor. So having those 4 to 5 key areas covered to be able to help you to, you know, have that accurate thinking, because that's going to be super important with what level of success that you attain, or if you attain success at all, or if you're just like spinning your wheels round and round and round. And we definitely know that we don't have time to waste like that. So we definitely, you know, are excited that you are joining us for this 6-part series, this very special series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich, as we're going through these 17 principles for success. Because it truly is a formula. It truly is all of the pieces to the puzzle. Like, literally, it's a puzzle to be able to create massive success in any area of your life. And so these 17 principles fit in to be able to help bring that puzzle together. And so throughout this entire 6-week series, we're bringing you each and every one of those principles and each and every one of those pieces of the puzzle to be able to help you to accomplish the things that you want. So we definitely are excited and happy that you've taken the time to be able to instill those things within yourself to be able to help you to accomplish your goal. And like I said before, if there's any part of the series that you've missed, no worries, no worries, no worries. You can go back to blogtalk.com, blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, and you can catch up on any part of the series that you've missed. And then join us, of course, next week, as we're going to be discussing part 5 of the series on learning how to use failure as a stepping stone, as well as how to align yourself with nature's laws and harness the power of your imagination. This is one of my absolute favorite discussions. One of my absolute favorite principles is that creative imagination, because that is truly the the workhouse or the I can't even think of the word because I'm so excited about that particular principle, but it is truly the master workshop of the mind is through that creative imagination. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit more next week when you join us on this series. And, of course, you can always go out and pick up a copy of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich or his a book, Your Right to Be Rich, that breaks down these 17 principles. And it will be actually a benefit to you to be able to go out and have the book and go through it. And so even as we're having these discussions, it really will help sound down within you how those principles can apply within your life. And, of course, if you want more information about the Mastermind in the International Mastermind Association, you can go to internationalmasterminders.com. You can also follow us on Facebook or on Twitter. And we want to thank all of our Mastermind Alliance guests for joining us today for this amazing discussion. And we hope to see you all and hear you all next week for part 5 of our 6-part series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. You have a fantastic day. And remember, if you're not really focusing in daily, if you are not doing mental conditioning daily, then somebody else is influencing your thoughts, and you definitely don't want that. So dream bigger and go out there and make it happen. You have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you next time.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.